Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Maines, for that introduction, and welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at a book called Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith, a book that was written by two Mormon authors, Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. The book received several awards after it was released. And unfortunately, though, the Mormon church leadership didn't really like it, despite the fact that it did receive an award even through Brigham Young University. There was an article that was written by a man by the name of Devery S. Anderson, A History of Dialogue, Part 3, and it recounts the controversy that this book caused after it came out in the mid-1980s. And so we're looking at that article because what happens, there's rumors going around about the two authors, some even thinking that they were excommunicated or even disfellowshipped because a ban was put on the two authors and they were not allowed to talk about the book in Mormon church settings. In fact, they weren't supposed to talk about anything historical in a Mormon church setting.
What could they talk about?
Really? This is their expertise. And they're not allowed to talk about it. So they end up getting a meeting with Dallin Oaks and Neil Maxwell. Dallin Oaks currently serves as an apostle in The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Neil Maxwell, he passed away several years ago, but these were the two prime players in this meeting that they had. Linda King Newell and her husband meets with these two, and they are told by Dallin Oaks that the reason why they were banned is because they were using the church setting to promote the book, which was not true at all. And we asked the question yesterday, why is Dallin Oaks believing rumors? Why is he willing to enforce a ban on two members based on nothing more than vicious rumors, showing that a Mormon apostle is just as easily susceptible to listening to false things going around as any of us are susceptible to believe false reports. So anyway, they are in this meeting, and Oaks acknowledged that the weight of the evidence was on the side that people could actually be hurt by reading the book. In other words, a member's testimony could be put in crisis if they were to read this book about Joseph Smith. It goes on in this article, it says that when Linda King Newell asked whether the two apostles had read the book, Maxwell did not answer, and Oaks admitted he had only read portions of it, citing time constraints as the reason. He acknowledged that in what he had read, Linda King Newell, and Avery had used restraint when discussing aspects of Joseph Smith's life and his relationship with Emma. That's a telling statement.
It could have been worse, maybe.
Oaks obviously knows more about the history of Joseph Smith and his relationship with his wife than what's even printed in the book. And he comments that the two authors had actually used restraint when discussing aspects of Joseph Smith's life and his relationship with Emma. That ought to raise a lot of question marks if you're the average member reading this. But what Oaks says, and what's reported, I should say, in this article in Dialogue, is actually an abbreviated version. There's actually much more to the story.
He had told the authors, and we're getting this from Newell's The Biography of Emma Hale Smith, a paper she delivered in 1992, the Pacific Northwest Sunstone Symposium, audio tape J976. And I'm getting this from a book that quotes the whole thing from Inside the Mind of Joseph Smith, Psychobiography in the Book of Mormon. And that's introduction, page 53, footnote 28. And so I want to give this quote, but I want to say we haven't listened to the tape, but we're getting this out of a book that's been published. And here's what Oaks told the author. My duty as a member of the Council of the Twelve is to protect what is most unique about the LDS Church, namely the authority of priesthood, testimony regarding the restoration of the gospel, and the divine mission of the Savior. Everything may be sacrificed in order to maintain the integrity of those essential facts. Thus, if Mormon Enigma reveals information that is detrimental to the reputation of Joseph Smith, then it is necessary to try to limit its influence and that of its authors. That's a huge quote. When I first saw that quote last week and I was doing some research on this, I was floored by it. I just think that is a telling quote, that the truth is not as important as protecting the image of Joseph Smith.
If you're a Latter-day Saint and you're listening to that, does that not bother you? Does that not bother you that a leader of your church feels that he is justified in whitewashing or being silent about anything that may put Joseph Smith in a negative light? I tell you something, that would bother me if I was a member of the LDS Church.
Well, you're always complaining that Joseph Smith always seems to get a free pass. This is why, because the leaders are sticking up for him.
It comes down from the top, folks. It comes down from the top. Now, in this interview, Oakes, it says, expressed concern about repairing the damage to Linda King Newell's reputation caused by the ban. Because remember, when this happened, immediately members in the Mormon church thought that maybe they were excommunicated or disfellowshipped, or I would have to assume at least under some kind of disciplinary procedure. Jack, who is Linda King Newell's husband, it says, Jack said rescinding it would be the best way. Oakes responded, I'm quite sure that wouldn't happen. However, after Linda asked how long the ban would be in place, Oakes said, it's permanent, but we all know such oral communications expire eventually. Now, I want to say something about this. If this was a conflict between two members in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I would like to think that their ecclesiastical leaders, whether it be a bishop or stake president, would say, look, you two, get your act together and get this settled. Mm-hmm. If you have done something to offend the other member, you need to make it right. And in Mormonism, they have this big thing about repentance, don't they? You have to confess it and you have to do in your power what is right to make the situation right again. Notice what Oakes does not do. He doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. These men can get up in general conference and pontificate to the membership, telling them how they need to repent of their sins, but yet they will not repent of their own sins.
Wow.
That is wrong. That is blatant hypocrisy. And the last I checked, hypocrisy, I think, is on the list of Spencer Kimball's sins on page 25
of
The Miracle of Forgiveness.
Yes, it is.
But yet Oakes will not make it right. Remember, this was traced back to the First Presidency. They were the ones that started this problem. Because of what they did, they impugned the character of these two members. They are told rescinding the ban would be the best way to make it right. And Oakes says, I'm quite sure that wouldn't happen. Well, it does eventually happen, because when the media, the secular media, starts getting a hold of this, that becomes a problem for the Mormon church. And also, Linda was supposed to be speaking, and she knew that this question was going to come up. So she wanted to know, what do I tell people when they ask me about this? What am I going to say when they're asking why I can't talk about this particular issue in Mormon history? Well, because of that, the Mormon Church eventually did lift the ban 10 months later, so they were free to talk about it. In fact, it says on page 46 of Dialogue, 10 months later, however, the ban was lifted after Linda made a final appeal through Hansen, her stake president. The timing seemed right. She had agreed to appear on a local television program on the 25th of April, 1986, to discuss the upcoming Mormon History Association meeting to be held in Salt Lake City. Expecting that someone would ask about the ban during the question and answer period, she wanted to provide a positive answer, so she met with Hansen on the 13th of April, 1986, and asked him to do what he could to persuade LDS leaders to lift the ban. He said he was willing, but you know that the church is not going to announce that we have rescinded this. The church can never admit they made a mistake. They can't admit that. Once they do that, then the dominoes start falling. However, that did not matter to her. They don't have to, she said. All they have to do is tell me because I know the question is going to come up. The day before the taping of the television program, Hansen called Linda with some good news. She was no longer under any restrictions any more than any other member of the church. Not only were the Newells elated, but when a reporter asked about the ban, as expected, she was now able to announce it had been lifted. Oh,
it sounds good, doesn't it? But you know what? This has consequences. This doesn't end here. A couple of paragraphs later, Linda describes this 7 years later, and she described the effect of the episode on her and Avery's family as incalculable. Also, in spite of the ban being officially lifted, both Linda and Avery have been blacklisted ever since, meaning that their work may never be cited in any official LDS publication. Now, this is 2002 when this is being written, but at the time of 2002, I don't know if that's still today, you can't cite them in official works.
Even though it's true. That's what's amazing. Even though what might be cited from their book could be absolutely fact. The fact that it has that mention of the book in the bibliography or in a footnote is something the Mormon Church is scared to death for people to know.
It's amazing.
Why is that?
And then this next sentence, I think, is the killer. Although the controversy tripled sales, isn't that what controversy often does, Bill? It makes things go up. So the month after the story of the ban was made public, tripled sales, but it was hardly consolation for the pain caused. There was a lot of pain that these two women had to go through having to deal with the general authorities. What a terrible situation for them.
Can you imagine? I mean, you're just trying to write an honest book of Mormon history, and you're using the resources of very well-known scholars in Mormon circles. You put this book together, you tell a side of history that is accurate. The Mormon Church doesn't like it. Why doesn't the church like it? Because you can't paint the leader in a true light. That's the problem.
Let's take a look at this book starting tomorrow.
We're going to do that. We're going to go through this book, and we're going to talk about some of those controversial aspects that we're sure the church leadership was reluctant for the membership to know.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.